Hey, this is Lady C.
Hey, this is JT.
Welcome to The Critical Thought.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to The Critical Thinkers.
And Happy New Year to everyone.
You're listening to The Critical Thought, where we challenge our listeners to use critical thinking when examining the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses.
What you got for us, JT? There's announcements that just came out for January 2022. Some interesting things going on.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. It's getting wild. It's getting wild. But, you know, the Watchtower is going to start the year off really revealing the problems that they're having. I think these announcements for January, they tell us that there's an underlying problem. And to be honest with you, there is no simple solution for them.
Not at all. I mean, you know, when you look back on the religion or being in the organization, and you would never think that they would put out this kind of letters or announcements and things like that. And of course, it's only for the brothers. But since we are privy to the internet, everyone can read all the stuff that comes down the pipeline now. So let's get to it. You want to go start talking? Let me put it up on the stream here.
In fact, that's what's so interesting about it. This is not going to be discussed among the rank and file Jehovah's Witnesses. This is only going to be discussed among the body of elders. Nobody else is going to see this. But of course, everybody's going to know. All right, let's get started. You want to go ahead and read paragraph 4, Lady C?
Okay, I'm going to read a little bit of this.
All right, go right ahead.
Because I know everybody can read, but basically it's talking about assisting young brothers to make spiritual progress. It says, for several years, the governing body has emphasized the importance of assisting young brothers to qualify for congregation responsibilities. This continues to be an urgent need. It has been observed that in some congregations, few baptized brothers in their late teens and early 20s are reaching out to serve as pioneers or ministerial servants. In some lands, relatively few young brothers are applying to attend the school for kingdom evangelizers, to serve at Bethel, or to assist in Kingdom Hall construction and maintenance. On the other hand, qualified younger brothers in some congregations have been held back simply because of their age. So I'll stop right there. Maybe offer some comments on this. What's happening?
This is really an insight into problems in the organization. I mean, it's just that simple. They are having problems. As B.B. King says, the thrill is gone. And basically, this letter is letting the elders know that there is just no enthusiasm for supporting the arrangements that they have. I mean, think about all the different schools the Watchtower has set up over the years, you know, ministry schools for single brothers that go off to be, you know, assistant congregation. Nobody wants to do that anymore. They just cannot get the young people. And this is really an organization. Unfortunately, this is what they refer to as an aging organization. Years ago, they did a thing about the Catholic Church. There was articles about the Catholic Church is getting older. You just don't have the same number of young couples, teenagers who are going to the Catholic Church. And I remember brothers giving talks about that. You know, the waters are drying up. The waters are drying up. Well, it looks like the waters are drying up in Watchtower world as well. When we talk to people around the world and they send us emails about what's happening in their part of the neck of the woods, as we say, they now have sisters who are carrying mics. They now have sisters who are working the literature counter, the magazine counter, territory cards, because young men are simply not reaching out. And the reason why is very simple. This is a part that the organization does not want to address, Lady C. And that is, why is it our young people do not want to participate? Why is it? Well, it's like so many other things in the organization that they really don't want to address the real reason because they know what will happen. It's going to point directly back at them. I mean, you think about all the young people that we've talked to who've talked about their fathers and their grandfathers and great-grandfathers who have served in these different roles in the congregation, and now they're worn out, beaten down, and basically being discarded. And so the organization is struggling to have young people step up, and they're not. Young people are turning to information like unseen before. Whereas older friends, you know, they won't even go on the internet. But these young people, as soon as the internet pops up, they keep rolling. And as a result, many of them are simply realizing, I can't do this. And so we see this little, this undercurrent. There's literally an undercurrent in the organization right now of people, and we call them primos, who simply come to the meeting. You know, they go through the roles, they go through the motions, but deep down they realize, I can't do this crazy stuff no more.
Right. And, but you know what I was thinking? What I was thinking too, JT, is when you think about when we were Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. that population of elders that were, you know, like probably in their prime, right before their prime, they're probably approaching like 60, 70, 80 years old.
Absolutely.
And so you have all of these brothers that were really leading, and they were like brothers from a way back. Mm-hmm. And they were like pillars in the organization to the point that they were not going to deviate one way or the other. It was like they could read a watchtower. I mean, they could read something on the internet or whatever, and they weren't going to, it wasn't going to shake their faith. Well, those brothers are dwindling because of their age.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't serve anymore.
Yeah.
But then it's like, where's this group of men that was before them? Because remember, you had all these people that were trying to get positions that couldn't get positions. So now you probably got people like in their 50s now that they're just like been thrown to the side. Mm-hmm. But now they're looking to find even younger people to serve. So that's going to be a pretty big divide when you think about the older people that can't serve anymore to the ones that they're not using, to the ones that they want to use that's actually younger than those. So that's going to be an interesting situation if they start appointing brothers that are younger than the ones that's been sitting at the Kingdom Hall for 20 years waiting for an appointment.
Yeah. I mean, whenever an organization has problems in finding those who serve in leadership roles, that organization's in trouble. Any, it doesn't matter what it is, any company, organization, and they can't find people to serve in leadership roles. We see that many times in communities that you may have a local school board and nobody wants to serve on the school board. Or you may even have something as simple as a homeowners association and you can't get people to serve on the homeowners association. You're going to have problems. Well, how much more so in an organization like Jehovah's Witnesses? And so you end up literally, as they say, scraping the bottom of the barrel. And just to show you how severe and how desperate they're becoming in terms of finding somebody to serve in these leadership roles, notice the instructions that is being given to elders all over. Could you continue the reading of that for us?
It says, therefore, the governing body requests that all bodies of elders worldwide give priority to helping younger brothers grow in their relationship with Jehovah and qualify for congregation responsibilities. Elders should regularly discuss spiritual goals with younger brothers. Although relatively young in years, exceptional ministerial servants may already be viewed as spiritually older men and qualify as elders in their mid or even early 20s. In due course, the Shepherd Book will be updated to reflect this direction. What you think about that?
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? They now are telling elders to appoint people in their mid to low 20s. You know, the Watchtower did a very interesting article that discussed older men. And what they did, they looked at the Greek and the Hebrew word of this phrase, older men. And basically, throughout millenniums, all types of cultures, all types of societies, they've always used this term, the older men of the city or the older men of the village, the older men of the congregation. That's a very commonly used term. And it actually refers to a certain group, a certain age group, because the Watchtower now is trying to redefine what the word older men actually means. It's the greatest trick in the world. Whenever you can write your own definitions to words, nobody can stop you. You can make words mean anything you want to in the world of Watchtower. You see, when you think of people in their 20s, they are going to fall into basically three groups: lower 20s, mid 20s, upper 20s. Upper 20s, you might think of 27, 28, 29. Mid 20s, 24, 25, maybe 26. Lower 20s, 21, 22, 23. You all know, as you're watching this video, you will be hard pressed to find any culture, any society or group of people where they actually refer to someone 21 years old as an older man. People often say, no, it's a young man, just got married. You will never hear someone look at the guy who's 21 years old and say, no, he's an older man, getting married. They're not going to say that. But in the world of Jehovah's Witnesses, they can make words mean anything that they want to. Why is this of interest? Well, the Watchtower wrote an article about older men. And in this article, they went into great detail using the Greek word, the Hebrew word, of how this phrase of older men is used and to be understood. I'd just like to share something with you, what they said, what they put in print. Insight, Volume 2, page 550, under the subject, older man. That age, in the physical sense of years lived, was a factor for qualifying to serve as an older man in ancient Israel is evident. So too, the older men or overseers in the Christian congregation were not young men. So what we see is the Watchtower is now redefining the word older man after just simply stating that a younger man is not an older man. You got to love the Watchtower hypocrisy.
So JT, based on your experience, what is the average age of a brother being appointed as an elder?
That's a real good question. There isn't any specific age per se, but generally speaking, you have circuit overseers and you have some elders who they are just hooked on this thing about not appointing someone before they're 30 or at least when they're close to 30. So typically you'll find someone might be appointed as an elder when they're either somewhere around 30 years of age. That's when you generally will see it. I know when I was at Bethel, it was unusual to see guys appointed under 30. The youngest elder I personally know was a guy, he was appointed at 25, and it was unusual. But generally in most congregations around the world, a lot of circuit overseers, a lot of old-time elders, they really carry this thing, well, he ain't a man until he's 20, until he's 30, because Jesus wasn't a man. And so that's when they will often appoint someone to be an elder, generally speaking.
And what about your own experience? You know, how old were you when you were appointed?
I was 27. I was actually one of the youngest. I was actually the youngest elder on our body. And you probably remember something that we heard after I got appointed, which really shows how the appointment really has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. It really has to do with who you know. Oh, yeah. A few years later, I found out that my appointment, actually, I was told once I became a member of the body of the elders, We would have appointed you a little bit sooner, but we had to wait to appoint another brother first. And so, because he was older than I was. And so it really had nothing to do per se with, you know, qualifications. It's basically who you know, who you're friends with. That's oftentimes what drives appointments, sad to say. It's the Mickey Mouse games that people play. And that's right. And it's only when you look back at it, do you realize, you know, so what do I have to do with him? But that's the way it works.
Right.
And that's how you know it's nepotism, family, you know, father, son, father-in-law. I mean, the stories you hear are just, you know, he married my daughter and then we're going to appoint him first. I mean, that's what it ends up being.
So when you look at these instructions that they're talking about appointing these brothers and saying, oh, let's get some younger guys, what do you think is the driving force behind that?
Yeah. Well, like we mentioned earlier, it really tells you something about what's happening in the organization. There's only really two reasons you have a shortage of elders. One, there's just so much growth. Congregations are splitting and you don't have enough elders to serve. Or what we're actually seeing, and that is nobody is reaching out. As they have admitted in the letter, they have noticed there is no enthusiasm to reach out. Nobody wants to serve. And, you know, it's really telling because when you consider that the Watchtower right now is consolidating congregations. That's profound. I mean, think about that. You have a congregation with five elders. You have another congregation with five elders. You merge these two congregations together, which should give you 10 elders, which should be plenty of elders to move around. And yet, at the end of the day, they're running short on elders because nobody is reaching out. Nobody wants these positions. So it's a very telling internal problem that this organization is having, and we're seeing it. We know that. That's how we get these letters. These letters come from elders, people who are still serving, who basically are on their way out the door.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying that, because when I think about the brothers that were elders when we were Jehovah's Witnesses, these brothers are like our parents' age now.
Oh, yeah.
And so now it's like, where's the brothers in between the 20s and the 70s? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Many of those guys are burned out, worn out. And that's what a lot of the younger males in the organization are looking at. They're looking at, they're like, I don't want to do that. I mean, I've had people just tell me point blank, man, I don't want to do that. And that's why they're using sisters. But, you know, it's interesting how the organization, it reminds you of the Mormons. I mean, think about how many times we've had, you know, Mormon guys come to the door. And when you open the door, you see this little lapel they have on their jacket. And when you look at it, you almost want to laugh at these guys, because it'll say Elder Leroy Johnson. And you're looking at the guy who, like, he just started shaving last week. And so the organization is literally becoming just like any other religion. They're now going to appoint people who are in their low 20s to be elders. They're reclassifying these young men as older men. I mean, that's so profound. I mean, that tells you a lot about what's happening in this organization today. And it's not good. It's not good for them.
Right. But you know what, JT, too? The other issue is they were talking about these positions, these elder schools or kingdom ministry schools and things like that. So they're noticing that these brothers aren't taking these positions. Do you think it has to do with people online on the internet and learning more about this religion? Or do you think it's just people are just getting tired?
I think it's really a combination of all of it. I mean, there are people who, if we try to talk to them about this not being the truth, they wouldn't listen. But they know when they go to the Kingdom Hall, they don't want to be doing any of the things that they see these guys are doing. So it's a combination. And when you combine the people who don't want to be there, the people who don't want to reach out, and the people who just laughing at others who have to do all this work, you end up with a lot of people. I mean, it has to be a lot of people. I know when we were in, that was a conversation that we would often have. And the brothers ain't really reaching out. And you think about how long we've been gone. And so basically what you've been having over all these years is a downtrend. See, that's the thing. It's a downtrend. And so the organization is struggling in all of these areas. And because this is a letter just for the elders, the rank and file witness is not going to be told, you know, we're running short of guys for leadership roles. But the friends can see it. I mean, people not blind. They can look around the Kingdom Hall like, we ain't had no new elders in years. And you have a lot of males who are sitting around like, I'm going home after the meeting. I'll see y'all tomorrow. You know, and that is what we're seeing today. There is no enthusiasm in this organization today.
Do you think that appointing these men as young as they're looking at is going to give them incentive to want them to, you know, get involved more?
It's going to play out that way for some. I mean, for some people who've been looking for a position, you know, wanting a position, this is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. So we're going to probably see a lot of young guys. And I'll give you a perfect example. Remember when they started the MTS school, ministerial training school, basically? They was bringing in a lot of young guys. They became elders, and they was putting these guys into the circuit work. I mean, we got a couple of those single guys. And so you got a single guy coming in as a circuit overseer, throwing him in a circuit. A typical circuit with a very high percentage of single women, and it just created all kinds of problems. I mean, you remember the brother we had now, you know, the circle we had? He was telling us, he says, man, you know, he would go to meetings and sisters would be eating them alive. You know, there's one sister, what did she say to him? She said they was out to dinner, they went up to somebody's house and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, she was going to butter his bread.
She said, brother, I'll butter your bread. I'm like, man.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the day? Yeah, I mean, he was telling us, he said that him and he would talk to other single circuit overseers. And he said, man, after the meeting, he would go out to his car at the, you know, because in the circuit, he stayed late with the elders and everything. And then when he go back to his car, all of these phone numbers stuck into his windshield wipers. Give me a call. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I mean, what are they, you thought it was OnlyFans on and stuff. I mean, these Jehovah's Witnesses, I guess. I don't know.
But, well, JT, but let me ask you this. when you look at that, when you look at this situation, there are quite a few brothers in the congregation that are looking for appointment.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in their 30s, upper 40s, and maybe some of them are 50. Do you feel like these brothers are displaced? Do you feel like they're just overlooked? What's going on with this?
Once again, it's going to play out multiple ways. For some, they're going to say, oh, this is a blessing from Jehovah, Jehovah. Because remember this. Remember now, you have to, it's very important to remember what people who want to be appointed are always told. You got to wait on Jehovah. Think about Moses. Moses had to go out before he was ready to lead. And so that's what they tell people who are not appointed. Because they know you get ticked off if you keep seeing other people appointed and you're not appointed. So they know you're going to get ticked off. We have talked to so many people, ladies, who have been involved in this organization all their life. And they'll see guys come in, be a Bible study, after be a Bible study, get baptized. And before he does anything, he's already appointed as a ministerial servant and he's off to the races. And many times because they don't like you or they have a black, you're blackballed or whatever. And so for some, they're going to think that Jehovah's blessed me. I've been patiently waiting like Moses. And then you're going to get others going to be like, man, this is a joke. I'm 32 years old. I could have been an elder a long time ago. You just appointed his brother. He's 23 years old. What's up
with
that?
That's my point. That is exactly my point. How is it that you have all these brothers here that's in their 40s and maybe 50, and you're saying, oh, we don't have any brothers. So we're going to go down and appoint these younger people.
Yeah.
Now, think about this.
Yeah.
You said it's a business.
It's a business.
Now, I used to work in corporate America, and the way they hired was, we're going to make you go through the ranks, and only would want to hire and promote the young people coming through. So do you think that the Watchtower is kind of going at that angle where, oh, let's appoint them younger so that we can like train them to have the mindset that we want them to have? And then these young people are beginning to think, well, I better go ahead and do what they tell me, because if I don't do that, they're not going to appoint me. And then if they do appoint me, I might not keep my appointment if I don't stay and do what they say. Because remember, you're younger. Right?
For some, it's going to be the carrot and the stick.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the carrot and the stick for some. And for others, it's not. So, I mean, it's really going to be a combination of both. I think that the driving thing is there's down to scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely.
It reminds you of a sports team. I mean, everybody knows and understands that when the coach starts looking to pull in his third string players, everybody know the team is in trouble. When you're down to, you got the guys who third string and you bringing them in because you don't have any first and second string players and you got to bring in your third string, everybody knows the team is in trouble. And this is where this organization is at. Because if you're bringing in and you're going to be appointing older men at 21 and 22 years old, your organization is in trouble. I mean, you're in some serious trouble.
Absolutely. Now, the $64,000 question is, what is going to happen with these judicial committees?
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. You know, as well as I do, that we discussed this and we've been talking to other people about this and other people we've known since this letter came out. Oh, man, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. There's a saying that power corrupts, and absolute power absolutely corrupts. To put this much power in the hands of someone that young, it's going to be you're talking about ego tripping? Oh, my goodness. I mean, we know it's bad enough with the people who they do appoint who are older. I cannot imagine what this is going to be like. I mean, think about the problems that we hear people who come onto our program, especially females, who find themselves in judicial committee meetings. Now, in this particular case, what we often talk about are cases where you may have like a, you know, 16, 17-year-old sister, 18, 19-year-old sister, and they're like 45, 50, 60-year-old old, dirty old men sitting in the back room asking all these questions about who was on top and who touched this and who squoze that and that kind of stuff. Can you imagine now, sister, married sister, may have gotten involved with a guy on a job. She's 37, 38, maybe 40 years old. And she's sitting in the room with three elders on her committee, and the oldest is 22. And they're asking her, and their sister, we all single, so we don't know anything about sex. So we're going to need all the details on everything from A to Z. Can you imagine that? I cannot, ladies, see, I cannot imagine the type of questions that females in this organization is going to get about their sexual activity of somebody at 21, 22 years old. It is going to be off the chain. I mean, it's going to be off the chain.
It can begin to help people wake up.
Yeah,
remember how we always talk about how people wake up when things personally affect them.
Yeah, that is true.
Them to just put, it's almost like, can you imagine?
I can't.
Going to the doctor and then your doctor is like 20 years old and you're like, ooh, what you going to say to me? You know, how are you going to handle that? You know, you're going to this young doctor and you're thinking, where did you go to school at? I mean, you know, because you got to have some living experience, too.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole point of what the Watchtower articles over the years they have written about the older man. You know, they're associated with gray hair or at least some type of maturity. But I mean, nobody, like I said before, you know, nobody refers to somebody 21 years old getting married as an older man. You'll be hard pressed to find any culture anywhere around the world that looks at a 21-year-old young man and refers to him as one of the older men. But we see how, just like with the Mormons, they stick that little elder Leroy Johnson on these little young guys' lapels. Mm-hmm. The Watchtower is doing the same thing. And the reason why is because they have nobody to use. They're down to their third string. It's really profound. It's really a very powerful statement about where this organization is right now. For anybody who has to sit in a judicial meeting with these types of people called elders, I feel sorry for them. The brother I knew when I was at Bethel, who was my mentor, he made a statement once. He says, you know, society knows that a lot of the elders we got, they're not really qualified, but they're good men. They can get their friends out in field service and get them out, you know, door-to-door work. And so the organization knows, you know, that even by their own standards, even by the society and the Watchtower's own standards, they know they got elders all around the world and got no business being called an elder, even by their standards. But because they don't have any other bodies, they just use them, which is sad, because the rank and file Jehovah's Witness is supposed to give this undue honor and respect to this older man and what he says and what he says and talks about and instructions that he give you. And so basically you end up with a lot of fools giving out information. And the best example of that was when we saw the Royal Commission meeting they had in Australia. I mean, if you had ever wanted to see what elders are like, you saw it. I mean, they put out there the three elders, and I cannot imagine what those people in the court were saying when they looked at these three guys who were the local elders, and they're saying to themselves, y'all got to be kidding me. These are y'all first responders to child abuse? These guys like this? And so even when we look at these individuals, we see what they're working with. Now they're going to go literally scraping the barrel to get people who really have no life experience at all and give them this type of power and authority over people's lives. It's going to mess up a lot of folks.
It is. Really, and is. Do you really feel like this could be like more of a gatekeeper situation? That they're just really looking for more gatekeepers, people that, like you said, can get people out in the field service and things like that.
That's all it is. They're looking for bodies to fill the place. That's all. And so it's the story that it tells us. It lets us know that we left for the right reasons. It really does.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's definitely a telling situation when it comes to like you getting your third string players, because you're really finding yourself in a desperate situation.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that, like, a lot of times, you know, we've heard people talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses might become an online religion. And if that's the case, you could do shepherding work from a distance. So do you think that they could actually consolidate people through these Zoom meetings where you may have 200 people on a call and only have five elders? That might help them with the shortage of brothers.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, that's what they're doing to Kingdom Halls right now. They're consolidating Kingdom Halls. I mean, they have looked at, you know, we have heard information that they was considering, you know, rearranging how the circuit overseer program works. Actually taking little regular pioneers and letting them serve for a couple of weeks as, you know, temporary circuit overseers. Just give them, see, if you give somebody some status, for some people, they'll run for it. And so, I mean, there's so many things that the organization can do because there are so many people who will just do whatever they're told to do. That's why we call a high control group. It's just the effect and the hold and the grip that they've held for so long. We see it slipping and it's showing up in situations and development of scenarios like this. They simply do not have enough males who have any interest in those little bogus titles that they hand out. You know, you're the territory servant. What's that? I mean, and so people are starting to understand that, you know, like I said, they see their fathers, their grandfathers, and they have seen them burned out and they're like, not doing that.
Right.
Not doing that. So everyone, you can see, we'd like for you to share your comments below. What do you think is going to happen? How is this going to play out? It's going to be very interesting. So share your comments. Lady C and I would love to see what your comments are going to be about that. If you're still in this organization, I hope that you don't find yourself sitting in the room with three guys who just started shaving last week.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this has been Lady C. I want to thank you for being in our audience.
And this has been JT.
And we'll see you on the next episode.
All right.
This program was sponsored by Critical Thinkers.